So do you want to use this or not?
No.
Well then, if you don't use it, okay, you need to pull the mic down. All right? Good girl. Good evening, everyone. Let me give you a warm welcome to the service tonight. We are here to celebrate the Christmas story, and it's really good to see you all here joining with us. Just have a few announcements to make for the next few days. Just to say to you that we will have a service here on Christmas Eve at 11:30, conducted by one of our home Bible study groups. And then we will have the Christmas Day service on Christmas Day at 10:30 in the morning. We do have a Boxing Day football match. I suppose the only requirement for playing in the Boxing Day match is that you can stand on your two legs. I've seen a lot of them play. That's all you need. So if you are keen and interested, that's going to be on Thursday at 10:15 at Londonderry Park. It says 11 aside on grass, so boots will be necessary. I think the only necessity for boots is to kick the daylights out of the opposition, really, honestly. So just to let you know about that. And then the services next Sunday at 11:30 and at 7 o'clock as usual. I also just want to give you a preliminary notice about a joint venture that ourselves and Strain Congregation are hoping to run. It's called Mental Health and Spirituality. And it will be conducted by Dr. Stephen Critchlow. Stephen has been a consultant psychiatrist for many years. He's also a church leader. And the event will be taking place firstly on Friday night at 7:30 in the town hall. And Stephen will be looking at the subject of anxiety. And then on the Saturday morning here in the hall across the way, he'll look at two issues. It'll be from 9:30 till approximately 1 or 1:30. Be looking at the issue of dementia, and then looking also at the issue of depression. And so we really would encourage you to come along. We would also encourage you to spread the word. The events are free, but we are asking that if you do come, if you make a small donation towards expenses. But we'll give you more details about that in the days that lie ahead. In our service tonight, we always take an offering for a local charity. And the charity that we hope to support tonight, as we have done over a number of years, is the Children's Hospice. And I'm sure you're aware of the marvellous work that goes on at the hospice. You're probably also aware that it doesn't receive government funding. It has to raise all its own funding. And so as we take up the offering tonight, I would really encourage you to give generously to support those families and children in need at this time. And so we'll take up the offering. And we pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we pray for the work of the Children's Hospice. We thank you for the expertise, care, and compassion of the staff. We pray for families who will be in the hospice over the Christmas period. We ask that those families would know in a very special way that you are Emmanuel, God with them and God for them. And we pray that in the midst of sadness, in the midst of pain, and in the midst of suffering, that they might know a joy and peace that comes from yourself, and that even in these difficult times, they would be able to celebrate the good news of the coming of Jesus. We thank you for the work of the Children's Hospice. We pray for all the resources that it needs, that others in need will benefit from it. In your name, amen. We turn to our order of service now, and as always happens at this service, the service will proceed unannounced. We're going to begin with the carol Once in Royal David City. Julia is going to sing the first verse for us, and then after that we'll all stand and sing the remaining verses.
Shed
we pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we come tonight to recount a story that is as old as time itself. A story that is so deeply familiar to us. And yet a story that speaks to people of every time and of every generation and of every place. And so we pray tonight, as we listen to the Christmas story, as we recount the promises that you made in your word, that you would send one to be our Savior. And as we discover how all of those promises were fulfilled in the birth of Jesus, your Son, open our eyes that we might see this story in a new light. Open our ears that we might hear the truth of it, perhaps in a deeper way for the first time. And open our hearts that the love that brought you down from heaven to earth, that love would grip our hearts, and that we would want to respond with lives willingly and gladly and freely surrendered to you. Lord, we thank you tonight that you are here. And even though we tell your story of things that happened in the past, you are here. And your desire is to meet with us. So move among us by your Spirit and draw us to yourself. For we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
The first lesson is taken from Genesis chapter 3, verses 8 to 15. God announces in the Garden of Eden that the seed of woman shall bruise the serpent's head. Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God, and as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man, "Where are you?" He answered, "I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid." And he said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree that I commanded you not to eat from?" The man said, "The woman you put here with me, she gave me some of the fruit from the tree, and I ate it." Then the Lord God said to the woman, "What is this you have done?" The woman said, "The serpent deceived me, and I ate." So the Lord God said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, cursed are you above all livestock and wild animals. You will crawl on your belly, and you will eat dust all the days of your life. And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head, and you will strike his heel." Thanks be to God.
Yeah. Genesis chapter 22, verses 15 to 18. The angel of the Lord called to Abraham from heaven a second time and said, I swear by myself, declares the Lord, that because you have done this and have not withheld your son, your only son, I will surely bless you and make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as the sand on the seashore. Your descendants will take the possessions of the cities of their enemies, and through your offspring all nations on earth will be blessed because you have obeyed me.
Isaiah chapter 9, verses 2 to 7. Christ's birth and kingdom are foretold by Isaiah. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you, as people rejoice at the harvest, as men rejoice when dividing the plunder. For as in the day of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor. Every warrior's boot used in battle and every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning, will be fuel for the fire. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this.
Isaiah chapter 11, verses 1 to 9. The peace that Christ will bring is foreshown. A shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse. From his roots a branch will bear fruit. The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and of understanding, the Spirit of counsel and of power, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord, and he will delight in the fear of the Lord. He will not judge by what he sees with his eyes, or decide what he hears with his ears, but with righteousness he will judge the needy. With justice he will give decisions for the poor of the earth. He will strike the earth with the rod of his mouth. With the breath of his lips he will slay the wicked. Righteousness will be his belt, and faithfulness the sash around his waist. The wolf will live with the lamb. The leopard will lie down with the goat. The calf and the lion and the yearling together. And a little child will lead them. The cow will feed with the bear. Their young will lie down together. And the lion will eat straw like the ox. The infant will play near the hole of the cobra. And the young child put his hand into the viper's nest. They will neither harm nor destroy on all my holy mountain, for the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord as waters cover the sea.
Chapter 1, verses 26 to 38, the angel Gabriel salutes the Blessed Virgin Mary. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who is said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month. For no word from God will ever fail. I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May your word to me be fulfilled." Then the angel left her.
I heard angels singing in the heavens. I heard angels singing hallelujah. Told us boys don't be afraid, I bring you good news today. Jesus has been born for you. I heard angels singing in the heavens. I heard angels singing, glory be. I declare in all my days, I've not heard such mighty praise, for you're making history. Angels singing in the heavens. I heard angels singing songs of joy. Peace on earth, goodwill to men. Get yourselves to Bethlehem. There you'll find a baby boy.
Oh, we saw
St. Luke tells of the birth of Jesus from Luke chapter 2, verse 1 to 7. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Cyrenius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Amen.
Luke chapter 2, verses 8 to 16. The shepherds go to the manger. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloth and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying,
Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favour rests. When the angel had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger.
Shepherds of the flock are straying, all are
Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 to 11. The wise men are led by the star to Jesus. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh.
To rescue me, this baby boy who grew to be.
I read during the week about a controversy in a school in England. Parents were objecting because the headmaster had changed the words of one of the hymns. It was the familiar carol, Away in a Manger. The first chorus goes, Away in a manger, no crib for a bed. The little Lord Jesus lay down his sweet head. And the headmaster had changed it to, Away in a manger, no crib for a bed. The little baby Jesus lay down his sweet head. And we might think to ourselves, well, what's the big deal? He was a baby. But the parents were very perceptive who raised the objection. Because there is this downplaying in the story of Christmas. This downplaying of the role and of the person of Jesus. Of course he was a baby. Like any other baby. And yet at the same time, he was a baby like no other baby. God had come to dwell among us. And the coming of Jesus was the fulfillment of a promise that God made right at the very beginning of time. Adam and Eve were made perfect in the garden, but they disobeyed God. And sin entered the world. And at that very moment of disaster, God made a promise that he would send one who would restore the relationship between God and man. And we have been tracing that story tonight in those promises given in the Old Testament, many of them separated by hundreds of years, and yet all perfectly fulfilled in Jesus. And Jesus has come to lead us to God. Jesus has come to reconcile God and man. And in this Advent season, we wait with anticipation for his coming. But it's another coming that we're waiting for. His coming at the end of the age, when he will take to himself all who have loved him and embraced him and followed him. And why wouldn't we do that? For Jesus offers us the gift of his love. It's not something we can earn, but it's his grace freely offered to us. And he is here, offering that grace to us once again tonight. We read from John chapter 1 and verses 1 to 14. St. John unfolds the great mystery of the Incarnation. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life. And that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. There came a man who was sent from God. His name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all men might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. He was in the world. And though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, or a husband's will, but born of God. And the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth.
Grace that life and health.
Just want to take this opportunity to express my thanks to all who took part in the service this evening, and also just to say to you that there's tea and coffee over in the minor hall for everyone after the service, so really would encourage you to stay for that. We pray together. Our Heavenly Father, you have led us to Bethlehem, to the baby who was born in a manger, God who became man. And we look forward today to that day when Jesus will return as King over all that he has created. May we be ready for that day as our hearts are freely given to him. And may his blessing, the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, rest and abide upon each one of us, both now and forevermore. Amen.